I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So for many of us today, the day probably started off as a normal Sunday. Maybe a little chaotic for some of us, but in general just a normal kind of Sunday where we get up and we come to church. Nothing out of the ordinary in that. And for many of the crowds going up to Jerusalem for the Passover, today would, in the Bible reading, would just be a normal going up to the Passover feast kind of day. There's some notes in Partnership News that talk about the population of Jerusalem probably at that time was around 60, 70,000, but up to 1 million people would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. So the place would be absolutely heaving. There would be people coming into Jerusalem from every road you could think of. It would just be jam-packed with crowds. It would be like going to, you know, 3 football cup finals in any one day. It would just be absolutely heaving. And there's a sense in which that, you know, sometimes the picture we have of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is of a small group of people going along a little dusty road with Jesus sitting on a donkey, and all the focus of attention being on Jesus. But we need to see that in the context of there would have been tens of thousands of people streaming into the city. And so what we see with Jesus is a small cameo rather than necessarily being the absolute focus of what was going on. For a lot of these people, it was absolutely normal. Singing the Psalms, one of which we had read for us today, was a normal kind of thing to do. Waving branches, the normal kind of thing to do. This was a completely normal, fairly joyous situation and fairly joyous time for people coming up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, rather than this small group of people on a donkey on a dusty road that, you know, we sometimes see. I think there was a picture in the Good News Bible, one of those line drawings of what seemed to be fairly open spaces. And Jerusalem at that stage would not be full of open spaces. It would be full of people and just a mass of humanity. Completely, completely normal. And we see that as the disciples go into Jerusalem with Jesus. Do you remember Charlie was saying last week, after the raising of Lazarus, the disciples, it was almost, well, I suppose we'd better go to Jerusalem. If he's determined, you know, we'll go with him to die. You know, there was kind of a resignedness about the disciples that just seen Lazarus raised. John's Gospel tells us that just before Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he's with Lazarus again and Mary and Martha having a meal, probably the special Shabbat meal that they had before the Passover celebration. Matthew, in a few verses just before the ones we had read for us today, tells us that on his way, Jesus has healed 2 blind men. So you can imagine the disciples thinking that there's a sense in which there's nothing that this man Jesus doesn't seem to be able to do. You know, their world view is just getting more and more radically changed the longer the time they spend with him. But because of that sense of resignation, you can imagine some of them thinking, there'll be so many people coming up to Jerusalem, perhaps we can just slip in really quite quietly. Perhaps nobody will notice. Perhaps everything will pass off without anything really happening. You know, we'll sort of get in and we'll get out and, you know, it'll be as you were and life will carry on as normal. So you can imagine them when they're going into Jerusalem, you know, working out which is going to be the busiest road, which is the one that we'll probably be least noticed on. And then all of a sudden, rather than going into Jerusalem, people start coming out of Jerusalem because they've heard of this man Jesus. And you can imagine as the crowds begin to come towards Jesus, some of them begin taking their cloaks off and sort of laying them on the road. And you can see the disciples thinking, oh, no, please, no, please don't do that. Please, is there another road? People are laying their cloaks in front of Jesus, just as they'd done as kings rode into Jerusalem. So it starts off in 1 Kings 11. It tells us that when Jehu rode in, people laid their cloaks in front of him. Things were beginning to be not normal anymore. The palm branches that people were beginning to wave, not just in a general waving the Passover branches kind of way, but waving in acknowledgement of Jesus. 200 years earlier, Judas Maccabeus had gone into Jerusalem with palm branches waving as he started essentially what was called the Jewish revolt and kicked out some of the pagan armies out of Jerusalem. And you can see the disciples thinking, oh no, not just cloaks, now we've got the palm branches. This was not turning out to be a normal day anymore. And the scripture tells us that as Jesus went into Jerusalem, there's kind of a seismic reaction. It's almost like, you know, when you see in films where they're trying to depict some kind of a power blast and you see all the images ripple. It was like that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. He rode in as a Messiah, but this wasn't the kind of king that Jehu was. It wasn't the kind of revolutionary that Judas Maccabeus had been. This was Jesus riding in with a Passover, not just with the determination of a Jew, devout Jew going to the Passover, but with the determination of a man on a mission. And the disciples would realize that this isn't going to pass off without anything happening. Jesus rode in and he wasn't concerned so much about what was happening and what were the authorities doing and who was in charge. Was it the Romans? Was it the Jewish authorities? Jesus was much more concerned with who people were. What was at the center of their lives? Was it the Jewish legalism and ritual, which was so far short of what God had ordained in the law? Was it the vicious rule of the Romans and the acknowledgement of Caesar as being Lord and King? What was at the center of people's lives? Who were they? Because for Jesus, there weren't any complicated rules or commands that he gave apart from to love one another. There was no great organization apart from to be in fellowship with one another and to be in fellowship with him and to follow him. Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, hardly an aggressive sign or signal. But the message was very clear. It was time to meet the Messiah who had come. It was time for all that normality and the mundaneness of everyday life, of the rhythm of life that had gone on for years. It was time for that normality and that mundaneness to be transformed as it was touched by the living God in the form of his Son who had come. There's a sense in which in Lent we too journey with Christ towards Jerusalem. And there is a sense in which too that as we journey towards Easter, Jesus himself wants to take all that is mundane and all that is normal in our lives and transform that by his touch and his presence. Transform the things that we do with it, what sometimes seems like boring regularity, transform the things of our lives by his touch, so that things will never be the same again. Passover would never be the same again for the people who were touched by Jesus. The events that took place following Jesus' ride into Jerusalem would change the world irreversibly. Yes, the Jews still carried on for those who did not acknowledge that the Messiah had come. But for the rest of the world, things could never be the same again. There was that power of that transformation that Jesus brought, not just in society, but in the lives of everybody that came into contact with him. And that's the transformation that Jesus seeks for each one of us in our lives. Yes, in the majestic. Yes, in the unusual. But yes, also in the mundane and the everyday. Because as Jesus rides into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the Messiah has come. And it's time for the Messiah to transform in our lives the things that are mundane and everyday for his power and his glory. Amen.
Amen.